children's church. The rattle helps. I don't always see the sign, but making a little bit of noise, that helps. One of these days I'll learn. Today we're going to look at the last miracle recorded in the Gospel of Mark. And as in all the miracles performed by Jesus, there's much more to it than just sort of the healing of blind Bartimaeus. And yes, the miracle in and of itself is amazing and it's important, but we need to also consider the circumstances and the message that Jesus is sending by restoring this man's sight. So let's get right to it this morning. We're, again, finishing up the chapter, the 10th chapter of Mark. And I know we've been here a while. I label them A, B, C, D, or whatever. We're on G. So we've been in Mark chapter 10 a while, but today's the day we'll finish that up. And we're looking this morning at verses 46 and 47, which read like this. Then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. And when he had heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." One other thing I forgot to do housekeeping-wise. Where'd they go? There they are. Husband and wife, brandly new married, Nathan and Callista. And new driver's license, Isaiah Dunphy. That's always exciting, too. I remember that day. That was a big day. Huh? Lily got her license, too. Congratulations, Lily. That's awesome. So sorry about that. I looked up and saw Callista and reminded me of that. So again, 2 weeks ago, we saw Jesus tell his guys, his disciples, that they were headed to Jerusalem for the Passover, right? This passage kind of shows us one portion of the journey. They have just crossed over the Jordan River and are working their way through the city of Jericho. And on their way out of this city, it appears that they have either picked up a bunch of new people, new followers, or they are simply part of a larger crowd that's kind of making the same journey as they are. And we've seen this before, right? The Passover was a big deal. It was big to be in the city of Jerusalem during the Passover. It's like in America, everybody heads to New York City for New Year's Day, right? Or New Year's Eve or whatever. Or Thanksgiving, you know, for the parades or whatever. It's kind of similar to that. It's a celebration that people want to be in Jerusalem for. So many people are making this trek. And Jericho, it's a large enough city that it attracts beggars. See, there was no formal welfare program in those days, no disability insurance in those days. If you had no ability to work, you begged. And Bartimaeus is blind, so Bartimaeus begged. And he is doing this by the side of the road that Jesus and this large crowd are traveling on their way to Jerusalem. So given the number of people passing by, Bartimaeus has made a pretty good choice in his location to ply his new craft. Now, I'm sure most of us have heard that when one of our senses is taken away, our other senses are often heightened or increased. And I'm conjecturing here, let me say that right up front, but I cannot help but wonder if Bartimaeus was, because of his blindness, a really good listener, right? He heard things other people missed. And one of the things he had heard was obviously some things about this Jesus. In fact, Bartimaeus had heard that this man could restore his sight. Jesus had done this before. We've seen it before in the Gospel of Mark, and maybe he could do it again for Bartimaeus. So he does the only thing he can do. Bartimaeus begins to cry out to Jesus, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And this is the first time in the Gospel of Mark that anyone has tied Jesus to this line of King David. It is a recognition by Bartimaeus of the connection that Jesus has to Messiah. This could only be by divine understanding. And as we'll see in a bit, it gets the attention of Jesus. In fact, let's look at that now in verses 48 and 49. Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him here." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, stand up. He is calling for you." Now, maybe you remember this. We've seen a very similar scene before in this gospel. The disciples and the crowds in an earlier situation discouraged people from bringing their children to Jesus for his blessing. And now we see the crowd, it kind of takes a similar stance here for very much the same reason. Do we remember the reason? I'll tell you the reason. The crowd here had judged this man, blind Bartimaeus, like they had judged the children. See, in their eyes, the children had no real status or no real value. And now they are making the judgment that blind Bartimaeus has no real status, has no real value. As a member of this society, a blind beggar rated pretty low on the scale. And they did not want this man disturbing Jesus along his journey. And notice what Mark even says about the attitude of the people toward Bartimaeus. They were sternly telling him to be quiet. See, there was no kindness there, but only what appears to be kind of a level of judgment and condemnation. But Bartimaeus still had hope. Did you notice that? He still had hope, and this hope could not be thwarted by the treatment received from these people. In fact, Mark tells us that Bartimaeus cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus hears his cries, he stops in his tracks, and he says, "Call him here." Now here's the cool part. These simple actions of Jesus, stopping, calling him here, changed the attitude of the whole crowd. They changed from judgment and condemnation to something completely different. Now they call to Bartimaeus and they encourage him. "Take courage, Bartimaeus. Stand up. Jesus is calling for you." See, I think they wanted the same thing as blind Bartimaeus. They wanted to be seen by Jesus. They wanted to be heard by Jesus. And when someone got to have this audience, they knew something good was about to happen. Right? See, I personally love to encounter people who are crying out to Jesus because I know Jesus is listening. I love to encounter people who realize their need for Jesus because I know I am about to see lives transformed, lives changed. See, Bartimaeus not only knows what Jesus has done, but he also knows who Jesus is. "Son of David," he says. Messiah. Savior. Friends, do we know who Jesus is? I mean, do we know who Jesus is? Son of David, Son of God, Messiah, Savior. And do we know what Jesus has done? He died in my place. He has taken my sins upon himself. He's taken your sins upon himself. Well, look now with me to see how Bartimaeus responds to the call of Jesus and the crowd in verse 50. Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. Now, without a little background, this may seem like a bit of nothing, right? A little filler in the story. But the way Bartimaeus would beg would be to lay out his cloak in front of him with the understanding that people would toss their alms, right? Toss their money onto his cloak to be kind of gathered up at the end of the day. They're not going to toss it at him. He can't catch it. He can't see it. It's for the cloak. So this cloak was literally the means to his survival. And Mark tells us that Bartimaeus simply throws the cloak aside. It's like Bartimaeus knows what is coming. I will no longer need this cloak to beg. His expectation is that significant. Then he jumps up and he comes to Jesus. Remember, still blind. And Mark makes no mention of help from the crowd. It seems Bartimaeus is simply drawn to Jesus, and he finds his way to the very one who can save him, the very one who can heal him. Well, what holds us back from coming to Jesus? Is it that job that keeps us from church or from Bible studies or from other ways to connect with Jesus? Is it a relationship that divides us, that maybe separates us from Jesus? Is it a misunderstanding that Jesus is going to make us miserable if we come to him? Is it the fear of change that comes from coming to Jesus? Hey, I know some of us have come close to Jesus, but it seems we're still hanging on to something that keeps us kind of from completing the journey. Maybe it's unconfessed sin. Maybe it's unrepentant sin. Maybe it is that somebody is already occupying first place in our lives. A spouse, a child, a parent, an employer. Quite often, it's ourselves, right? We put ourselves first place. But not Bartimaeus, see? There was nothing that was going to stand in his way, not even his blindness. Look with me at verse 51. In answering him, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." So Bartimaeus had been crying out, right? A very kind of generic statement. Well, not that generic, but he cries out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." But this does not speak to anything necessarily specific, right? So Jesus asks a much more specific question. What do you want me to do for you? And now Bartimaeus gets the opportunity to ask Jesus for something quite specific. And I love how he addresses Jesus. He calls them Rabboni, which is a term of high respect and a term that implies a close relationship between these two parties. It's like a student addressing his mentor, a mentor that he highly respects and loves. Rabboni, I want to regain my sight. Meaning, did you notice this? Meaning that there was a time when Bartimaeus could see. He knew exactly what he was missing. He knew the value of his sight. He knew the beauty of God's creation, and he wants it all back. Maybe you've been there. You have lost something very precious to you, and you desperately want it back. This is blind Bartimaeus. And then the response of Jesus to Bartimaeus, found in verse 52. And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. Jesus hears the request and Jesus responds. Go, your faith has made you well. Jesus does not touch Bartimaeus. Jesus does not rub mud in his eyes like we've seen before. Jesus simply speaks these words, and immediately, by faith, blind Bartimaeus is no longer blind Bartimaeus. Mark tells us immediately he regains his sight, and, my favorite part, he began following Jesus on the road to Jerusalem. Did you notice this one thing? How many times so far in the Gospel of Mark have we seen Jesus heal someone or cast out a demon and then tell the recipient of his work, go and tell no one what has happened to you, right? Over and over and over again, we've seen this. But with Bartimaeus, Jesus does no such thing. Why? Why? Well, where are we going? See, Jesus is on the road to Jerusalem. All those other times, it was not yet time for Jesus to be fully revealed. But Bartimaeus already has revealed one important truth about Jesus that nobody has yet brought out, calling him Son of David. It's no longer time for silence, but now it is the time for proclamation. This passage of Scripture has often been related to the famous hymn, Amazing Grace, by John Newton. We sing that and a version of it quite often here. See, Bartimaeus was not just physically blind, but also spiritually blind, or as Newton put it, lost, right? I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I... Glad you all know the song. In the stanza just before that, right, John Newton calls himself a wretch. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. The Apostle Paul calls himself something very similar if we look at Romans 7, verses 24 and 25, right? Maybe you're familiar with this passage. Paul says this, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other hand, with my flesh, the law of sin. See, Paul, the Apostle Paul, understood that without Christ, he was in serious trouble. But Jesus set him free from the body of this death. Paul is talking about being set free from the bondage of sin, the bondage of guilt, the bondage of shame. And we saw a couple of weeks ago how Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, saw himself, right? Once he stood before the throne of God, it's found in Isaiah 6, verse 5. And Isaiah says this, "Then I said, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." He sees perfection, realizes what he is. Isaiah knew he was in trouble until God sealed him and made him clean. Bartimaeus was sealed by Jesus. Bartimaeus, like Paul, was set free from this same kind of bondage. And here's the important part, see? Friends, Jesus wants to do the same thing for all of mankind, you and me included. His desire is for each one of us to be set free from the bondage of sin, from the bondage of guilt, from the bondage of shame. Jesus wants us to have these heavy weights removed from us so that we can serve Him unencumbered by the weights of this world. It's why He took these things upon Himself on the cross at Calvary. Here's one of the problems I think many of us face. We do not even realize we are blind. Let me give you a couple of small examples of what I mean. My physical eyesight has been deteriorating for some time now. Anybody else can relate? My arms are no longer long enough to read anything with smallish print, you know? And without some magnification, I'm in trouble. So the thing is, I did not know I was in trouble until I put on some reader glasses and saw how well I could see if I just put on some stinking glasses. Now, on the spiritual side, I think we all have blind spots. And we don't know what these blind spots are because they are blind spots. And if we knew about them, they would no longer be blind spots. But here's the deal. See, Jesus wants to open our eyes and show us these things that need correction, that need changing. And by my way of thinking, there are really two kinds of things in our lives that need correction. One is what we'll call the sin of commission. These are the things that we do that we should not do. We committed them. Jesus wants us to see these more clearly as the sins they are so that we can confess them and then repent from them. Then there are the sins of omission, right? The things that we do not do that we know we should do. We omit doing them. These are a little harder sometimes for us to identify, but the Holy Spirit can and will reveal them to us if we ask, and frankly, sometimes even when we don't ask. These are the things like, I feel like I should write this person a note of encouragement, but I guess I'll go shopping instead. I think I should call this person, but I'm going to mow my lawn instead. I think I should go visit this family, but I think I'll go play golf instead. Sorry, Richie, I had to bring the golf thing in. Richie and I played golf on Friday and watched him sink at least a 60-foot putt. It was the highlight of our day. We had a great time. We omit or fail to do the very thing that God is calling us to do, and instead find ourselves doing kind of our own thing. So these are the things that still require confession and repentance, right? And then, if we haven't done it yet, do it. Do it. Do the thing that God is calling us to do. Because here's the thing, it is far easier for Satan it's far easier work for Satan when we ignore the calling of God, because Satan will quickly fill our dance card with all kinds of sins of commission when we allow the sins of omission to occur in our lives. In other words, Satan works well in the vacuum that we create by our lack of obedience. He backfills the void that we have left by not doing what we're called to do. Can we see how the two, the sins of commission and the sins of omission, go hand in hand? And if you look at the verses of Romans 7 leading up to Paul's admission that he is a wretched man, we would see that his struggle was exactly the same as our struggle. The things we know not to do, these are the things we do. The things we should be doing, we do not do them. Paul admitted the same problem. Stop, right? Take a deep breath. Ask God to intervene. Ask Him for His help. This isn't a white-knuckle operation I'm asking you to take on. It's walking with God in it. Ask for His forgiveness for the failures of the sins of commission and the sins of omission. Ask Him for the strength to do the next right things that He puts in front of us. And I don't know about you, but man, He's always putting things in front of us. Do we have eyes to see? See, this process that we're talking about, this process of identifying the sin in our lives, then confessing that sin and repenting of that sin. See, this is part of the sanctification process. It is part of the being made holy by God process. It is part of becoming more and more like Jesus. If we're staying in the same rut and not growing, not drawing closer to God, we're in trouble. And here's the deal. None of this happens without the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. See, the forgiveness that is not even available to us without an acknowledgement of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. We celebrate that every first Sunday of the month, don't we? We'll do it next Sunday. And literally, from the sin committed in the Garden of Eden, only the shedding of blood has been able to cover sin. Innocent animals were sacrificed to make the coverings for Adam and Eve. Half the book of Leviticus describes the different blood sacrifices that the priests had to make on behalf of the people and their sins. But Jesus, see, and his supreme sacrifice did away with all of that, covering the sins of all mankind for those who would call upon his name. I was blind to the high cost of my sin, but now I see. I was blind to the damage my sin was causing to me and to all the people around me, but now I see. I was blind to the ultimate penalty of my sin, eternal separation from God, eternity in the lake of fire, always burning but never consumed. But now I see. Well, how about you? What must God do in your life to improve your vision? And are you willing to let Christ kind of shine his light into your life and show what needs changing? And are you willing to pray that he fully opens your eyes to see what needs changing? Not what your spouse needs to change, not what your kids need to change, what needs to change in my own life. See, that's my prayer for all of us today. My prayer is that we would no longer be blind to our own sin, but that God would give us eyes to see like Jesus did with blind Bartimaeus. And what did Bartimaeus do once his eyes were opened? He followed Jesus. He followed Jesus, his Savior, and he made him Lord of his life, right? May we do the exact same thing. May we follow Jesus, our Savior, and make him Lord of our lives. Let's pray.